Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Shalom,
shalom, bro. Shalom, Israel. Grace and peace. Shalom. Good morning, hallelujah.
I know, beautiful morning.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Good to see Sam yesterday. It was refreshing. Felt warm now. Yeah, so let's get into this. Welcome again to another episode. First of all, how do my microphone sound? How are we sounding right now?
You're sounding pretty
Sounds good.
Clear.
We okay? Everything's
yeah.
good?
Yes.
Okay, great, 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 great. All right. Well, welcome to another episode of Sounds of Living Waters of Job Israel of the Commonwealth of Israel, along here with my beautiful rib, Rhea Israel, who's watching the boards and ready to open up your phone lines if you got any questions for the host. Today, we're dealing with all. Oh, this is Sunday morning. Yep, today is Sunday morning breakfast brunch at the Sounds of Living Waters. And, you know, we deal with different things every Sunday. And this Sunday, we're dealing with also one of the co-hosts here that comes on Wednesday's afternoon, Rob Christensen of Invisible Secrets and Invisible Powers. And I'm going to tell you, dealing with a lot of things, dealing with environment. Some would say conspiracy theory, but, you know, hey, man, we all, anybody that believes in a word of God, you already classify it as a conspiracy theory. So that's not new to us. So we dealing with these sort of things, man. You know, what's going on with the elements? You know, what's going on with these so-called things called chemtrails, which you're going to clean up? Why are we having fires all over the planet now and hurricanes, which he can't, you know, he's going to touch on? Why are we having hurricanes just now at 5, at 10, category 10s, and falling all the way inland now? What's going on? Why we got ice glaciers falling off into the ocean and gases coming up out of the ice glaciers nowadays? What's going on with that? And we've been hearing those bits and pieces throughout our conversations throughout the week, throughout the month. We pick it up through the news and through the media. Some is taking it serious, some are not taking it serious. Well, here at the Sound of the Living Water, we take everything serious pertaining to the God Israel, and that's His element.
Amen.
And these are dealing with His element. And this brother here is to give us an insight on how our elements is changing, and that we got to start getting concerned with those things, because you know, the God of Israel with Jesus Christ had warned us. He said that these are the, he said, don't get all spooked now. These are the beginning of sorrows. Get spooked if you get caught in the great tribulation period. You know, but these things that's coming up, they are supposed to happen. And Rob is clearing up why they are happening. Pay attention to this. This is very prophetic information. So with that being said, we're going to turn this over to the host, Rob Christensen. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Brother Job.
Praise and peace.
Yes. Yes, I, well, I, together on Wednesdays, there's been four parts I've really covered. And one is climate shift and the Bible. Again, my opinion, we're heading into, spiraling into a global meltdown. And it wouldn't seem so living here in Minnesota, just shoveled the snow last night. But how is it that there's forest fires in the Arctic, the Siberia, or as you said, California, where you get these extreme fires? So that is a sign of things to come that are, in geological time, things are happening at lightning speed. So this, as some articles would say, we're in a mass extinction right now. Yet we live in such comfort in this country, especially. We're the power center of the world, and it's so easy to just look at our cell phones or watch the football game and have some beer or whatever. So there's a book that really helped me understand how we came to be this way, how we're in such a mess, and it's about extinction, and it's also about the book of Genesis, and it also includes the New Testament. But basically, where we have agriculture, we have hunting, gathering, we have shepherding or pastoral life in the past. The story explains that what happened is at some point in time along the Fertile Crescent, there was a group of people that took their agriculture on steroids, so to speak. And the people, there was a conflict so that the people, the shepherd lands in the Arabian Peninsula, above them came down the people that were willing to take life and death into their hands. In other words, the farmers. And they started killing off people so they could expand their population and have more land to till. So the blood was flowing, you know, with the struggle on the land. So it kind of makes sense that according to this book, you know, there's divine intentions. You know, we enact a story. We enact a vision. Just like Hitler had a vision, the people of Germany enacted that vision, and it was a disaster. In the same sense, I see it that the fall of man happened with the occurrence of this agriculture on steroids, so to speak, where by killing people to till more land, then you're taking from the tree of life, or you're taking from the tree of wisdom and knowledge of life and death as if you're gods. And it's just come that way for 10,000 years, where we're up to the point where we are. So that's a quick summation. And then next I went into jet sprayed aerosol dispersions as a way to express what's happening in the skies. It's not, if you use the word chemtrails, you'll be dismissed as a conspiracy theorist. And this is what is wanted, because the power structure, which I also talked about, is built in with this vision I'm talking about, to be rulers and conquerors of nature. We're basically at war with nature. If you look at what technology has done, nuclear technology and now weather technology. So given the last 70 years of experimenting with the weather and yet keeping it pretty much a secret, the patents are all there. And people can find the patents to how to cool down, engineer a cool down, which happens frequently in the eastern half of the United States. So the use of the word chemtrails is a way to mask what they're doing, because even a congresswoman once took this to the floor and she said, what are we going to do about these chemtrails? Immediately, the media dismissed her. So it was a very courageous intention on her part to confront this ugly reality of weather modification, but it immediately got put down. So beyond that, the idea of the power structure is something from the top down, all the way from, you know, the billionaires who control the banks down to the weather forecasters who are basically reading from script, where Raytheon does all the weather modeling, and they're part of Raytheon being part of the military-industrial complex that has just such deep powers that, you know, they can control the weather. And given, you know, these circumstances, what are we going to do about it as individuals? Frankly, I'm just like anybody else. I saw trails in the sky from jets and thought of it as, well, it's just the exhaust from the jet, and there's moisture up there, and it freezes, and it just stays up there. And radio program, just like this blog show, the radio allowed me to learn something I was very concerned about, because I have a past with being an environmental activist, Earth Day, Clean Water Action. So this really woke me up, this radio program by Dane Wigington of geoengineeringwatch.org, and to learn how it's probably, in his claim, it's the number one cause of global warming. And again, even global warming has been hard for people to come to terms with, but personally, I don't know how anybody cannot understand the fact that human beings are the chief cause of global warming, given all the 100 million gallons of carbon output we have every day. I myself, as a truck driver, you know, as a means to survive. So how do we cope with it? Well, for me, it was poetry. And the other way to cope is to actively pursue getting credible information out to people to dispel this whole conspiracy theory. The conspiracy is our government against us and ourselves against ourselves. In other words, if we blindly accept willful blindness, so to speak, what's put out in the media as, you know, acceptable, if we were programmed into a patriotism where we go out on July 4th and just have a good time and kind of worship the powers that be for giving us safety, then we're in trouble. So I have strong faith that a purification is about to come about, whether you look at Hopi prophecy or the Bible. There's a lot of understanding and digging that we need to do to face the truth. Most of all, courage. So finding ways to cope, poetry gives me courage. And how did I get to the point of writing this 15-page poem, which part of it I'll share today? It was truck driving. And Brother Job, you know all about truck driving. There's something special about driving at night where you can be perfectly calm and relaxed. There's something about the vibration and the drifting through space that makes you feel centered. So my first poem I wrote, I just recited to myself. You see, I used to sing in the truck, and my voice just couldn't touch the reins. I had Disney songs, and I'm kind of an introvert, wasn't much on the CB. So I wrote a poem, and it goes as follows. Nightly I drive as a means to survive. At the helm of a big truck I travel. Between darkness and wonder, my spirits revive. I gather some thoughts as they flow and unravel, ding for gold through sand and gravel. Mind you, I'm safely alert, no drowsiness tugging at my shirt. Rounding curves, gently leaning, unwinding road ahead revealing, beneath my watchful eye. the path that I must ply. Through fog and clear, my truck I steer, in evening's quilt, up to the hilt of dawn's jubilation. All through the night, till day is bright, I marvel at creation. So that's the poem.
Hey,
and it was
man.
Effortless. Yeah. It just came to me. It took no effort. And that's my point. By finding a means to remain calm, we can do what we have to do. We can live a fulfilling life. And so that's been my means to cope with the whole idea that, yeah, we're in an extinction. If we don't watch it, if we don't start being aware and doing something about it and radically changing, it's a threat to the planet. The planet, you know, in less than 10 years, we could all be gone if we don't change it. And again, a purification is in process. I think a lot of people out there, I welcome input on this, you know, believe that pain is coming, but it's up to us to deal with it. We can't just lean on government to do everything for us, because in what I'm finding more and more is the government is an adversary, and we ourselves are our own adversaries or enemies if we just hide from reality. So that's okay. Given these circumstances, I can share the first poem. It's fairly short, and I'll just read it, and I welcome feedback anytime. But my first poem is Global Warming, and I write an alias, Homer Un. That's my name, Homer Un. And I can explain later, but Homer Un. It goes like this. From the land of lakes and loons, I'm anguished by the global ruins. Spending time making rhymes, my soul does roam to make a poem. It is my only way to cope, to dwell upon the Hopi's hope. Please make no mistake, actions I will take. A verse had a riddle with which to fiddle, all its lines unchanged, its message rearranged for this poem. The second line of four has meaning of its core. Tween field generals, the poet sings. That's my favorite clue. The revelations that it brings will guide us toward what's true. In my youth, two field generals, let's call them presidents, warned the people of this country, all its residents. A Dem spoke out against the secrets held by those in power, a Repub against the complex. His name was Eisenhower. Military and industry combined, they could be dour to a final deadly hour. Johnson next hexed, a world unfurled. On the fringes to unhinge us are recent candidates. They attracted much attention and ran on different slates. Presidential their intention. Mr. Paul, he did call the deep state for its fakes. Mr. Sanders asked for answers of Wall Street profits on the take. Dr. Stein traveled to find at Standing Rock a solid block, humanity intertwined. So that's the global warming poem. And it basically talks about presidential leadership and what those individuals could see coming down, or what bothered them. And it implies that global warming says we've got to do radical change. This comes from people on the fringes like Ron Paul. I remember he said we need to cut the military budget in half. He talked about the deep state. And, you know, we hear about these things, but unless we look into them, we may, you know, it may bypass us. So I've, based on this radio program by Dane Wigington of geoengineeringwatch.org, I launched an intensive investigation, because when he talked about climate engineering or jet sprayed aerosols dispersions in tandem with other technology, weather modification technology, I said, my goodness, I've seen those things for years, and I've never had the slightest idea how threatening they were. And again, I've learned how, you know, jet streams can be bent and hurricanes sent other places are controlled. They can be increased and decreased. And given the complex technologies we have today, it's no surprise that, yes, weather can be very artificial. It's malleable. It can be controlled. So if there's any questions out there, I'd welcome some, but I'll just go through some of the verses and some of the facts that I've encoded in these verses. So
Rob,
the land of lakes and yes.
Can I interject for a moment? You brought up a lot of things, man, but if I can just interject, you said that we'd get dismissed like that congresswoman got dismissed
right,
as a conspiracy theorist by bringing up chemtrails.
Exactly.
So how will we appropriately, you know, approach that? You know, how do we deal with that conversation without being looked at as a conspiracy theorist? Because we are. I mean, you know, we always
right,
watching and we're the conspiracy theorists are those that are bold enough to say you're being lied to. You know, and that if you believe in the things that's just going on blindly, you're just sheep, you know, following the masses, you know, and you need to just wake up, so to say. So with that conversation being out there, how do you dismiss the idea of chemtrails and promote the idea of aerosol? And one more other thing, you brought up the cooling down effect of the earth. How is that taking place? So if you can address the first thing and then, you know, the cooling down effect, you know, then that would be a blessing to
sure,
me.
Sure. That's excellent questions. Well, Brother Job, as I've learned, there is no silver bullet. And to give you an example, when I first found out about this, I look back and I'm very glad I did what I did. I took action. I wrote letters to the Department of Natural Resources. I gave them a photo fact book from geoengineeringwatch.org, the website. And that, you know, to me, those photo sheets, photo fact information is the best information to dispel this hoax of chemtrails. In other words, it gives you the scientific factual information in photo form and film form, so that, for example, on that website, if you think it's just a contrail or a condensation trail like NASA would want you to believe, again, agencies are there to pacify. You can see many different films of the spraying going on, you know, another airplane photographing at close range the spraying, where the spray, they're actually turning the nozzles off and on. So you get a strip of a line and then nothing and then a line. So
well, what's the difference between condensational and what's the difference
okay,
between condensational and aerosol?
Well, the difference is this, is that a plane that's flying at the high altitude, you'll see, you know, the crystals or whatever, the ice crystals, but they form only a segment, maybe three or four times the size of the plane. It varies a little bit, but it doesn't continue for miles. If you see a plane that's spraying chemicals, you're going to see that line linger and stay there and start to spread out and become a cirrus cloud. So, there's photos in this website of, you know, there's thousands of photos of grid patterns where it's like tic-tac-toe. Do you see those grid patterns every day? No. So again, when this website refers people to the actual patents of weather modification, when it shows the photos from all over the world, because this is a global practice by different, not just us, different governments. However, we are by far and away the leaders of climate engineering.
So you're saying that when you use the term patent, that means it's an actual copyright to perform these things? It's an actual law?
Yeah.
What do you mean
patent.
By patent? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'll give you an example, and this will answer the thing about cold weather. The Nolenberg patent, that is, it's called ice nucleation. It's an endothermic process. So if you take a lab glass, a beaker, and you have water in it, and you put the right chemicals in there, it's going to freeze in an instant, turn to ice. Okay, imagine now with that patent, this was done back in 1966, and in 1971, they published the final results. So you can find that Nolenberg patent on the website. What they found is if the chemical urea or ammonium nitrate, something like that, they spray that in the sky at certain levels. They found the best level to spray it. And what it does is all the – you got to have moisture. So if there's plenty of moisture, there's a chemical reaction that makes – that drops the temperature incredibly. So if our surface temperature is 40 degrees, it can all of a sudden be 20 degrees and snowing. So you have satellite pictures of this sudden snowstorm area, and then maybe a mile away it'll be 50 degrees, whereas in that snowed area it's down to 30, 20, somewhere in there. So
you call
how effective?
That's called ammonia nitrate that they're putting in the air.
Yeah, that's
changing everything. That's what it is. Actual ammonia nitrate.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
So these, when it snows, these chemicals, if you test them, you can find the signature of these patents. So with the California resilient high pressure ridge, ridiculously resilient, in other words, it keeps repeating. Well, that's because they spray in the ocean and near California, in this case, to create the heat. And they use aluminum nanoparticles to do that. So you're going to be able to measure that. It's in the rain. If in the rain water you have levels of aluminum that are 40,000 times what aluminum shouldn't be in rainwater, and yet there's all kinds of evidence that is in that website from even all over the world. But the problem is agencies aren't going to measure what they don't want to measure. So, when you measure nanoparticles, whether it's in the air or you measure the rainwater with the aluminum, they don't reveal these to the public because it's again, they want to pacify the public. They have smoke particles and things, from normal everyday things like the combustion from factories and so forth, smoke particulates. But they don't measure things they don't want to measure.
Rob, one other thing, about 3 weeks ago, we were listening at the news, and it was saying that aluminum foil now is detrimental to your health. People using aluminum foil to bake and things like that, and we've been using aluminum foil for decades, and I think it happened, and it hasn't been a problem. But now it's a problem because they're saying that it's affecting our food. But what's really going on is the aluminum that they're spraying in the air that's now infiltrating our drinking water. That's a problem.
Right.
And they're blaming it on aluminum. Okay, I got you. All right.
Yeah,
okay.
It's also poisoning the soils. So like in California where you have these incredible fires, the soil's been poisoned for years. The pH has gone up. These are all, factual measurements. Places in the forest which for millions of years have pretty much been in balance. Or you could go back to measurements by the Forestry Service, you know, of the pH of the soil years back. And now some of these same wild areas, untouched by humans, apparently are being touched by humans by the sky. So, yeah, if the pH goes up 1 point, that's 10 times, you know, the change. It goes in magnitude. And what happens when the pH of the soil changes? Well, that affects the quality of the plant. And again, with these nanoparticles, they affect the ozone. So from the top down of the tree, when you have dangerous ultraviolet light, that kills the top, you know, in contact with the plant. So from the top down to the bottom up, you're getting sicker plants. So that's why you have kindling, you know, in California, because of all this climate engineering. It's the number one cause of the forest fires, where 90 people recently died, terrible deaths, and this explosive fires. And yet, agencies in general won't acknowledge it. There's articles here and there that talk about climate engineering, but yet it's the elephant in the sky. It's right in front of us, but it's covert. They try to hide it. It's an effective tool.
Not to interrupt, but I was listening to NPR about 4 years ago, not 3 years ago now, and to deal with climate control, they were the United States, this world, this government. I'm not talking about the rest of the world, because they wasn't covering that. But this world,
okay,
they were saying that they were putting mirrors in the air to reflect the sun rays to cool down the planet. That was on WMPR, which is a national credible radio station, which is studious. So
right.
Is that kind of with the aluminum? Is that the mirrors that they put in it?
Oh, excellent question. Here's exactly what it's about. NPR, just like I said, with Clean Water Action, Minnesota 350, when it comes to climate change, they won't deal with it. It's a brick wall. You know, their funding is based on not, you know, revealing this stuff. So when NPR talks about mirrors, that's hokum pokum. You know, why do people even waste time? It's kind of a science fiction idea. And I, with many people funded to do a lot of work on it, but it's not practical. It's not going to happen. And why it's so effective is that when you have mirrors or putting a structure to keep the ice in place, going in the ocean and building a wall so that the glaciers won't collapse. Well, how ridiculous is that? But when you have 10 ideas out there, then in the middle of it, they can show the jet sprayed aerosols, you know, and so it hides. It's a bunch of zany ideas, and the jet sprayed aerosols is among them. So it, you know, this truth gets very much hidden in all this hocus pocus. And again, a reminder, weather modification is much more than the aerosol trails. The other half of it is the microwave technology from the ground or from ships, or from arrays of antennas like out that they call HARP that transmit microwave power. They can cook the sky. And to help cook the sky, these aerosol trails are out there. These electroconductive particles respond to those microwaves that are transmitted out. And, of course, this creates weather whiplash, drought and deluge, forest fires, incendiary dust from these aerosols. That's explosive on foliage. You know, it just goes the way it rips up our natural way that water goes up in the air and down, the hydrologic cycle, you know, the cycle of life, really, since we're made mostly out of water, how can I go to Clean Water Action and talk about something so compelling, so damaging, and they look the other way? It really was kind of a shock to me, you know. And my
when you say the forest fires, and you talk about the aerosols and the aluminum that they're putting in the air, and you're talking about flames bursting in the air. I know the military got this bomb that sucked the oxygen out the air. It just sucked the oxygen within that radius with, you know, so many yards. It sucked the oxygen out for 5 minutes or so, suffocating whatever, you know, bodies that's there. So are we talking about something in that effect that these mirrors could pretty much in the middle of nowhere, you know, if the wind blows, they can ignite and burst into flames by themselves?
It's a good point. It's not to totally dismiss the idea of mirrors up in the sky or whatever, but the point of it is a lot of these things are distant ideas, you know, some century from now to really take place, if they were. It's like Star Trek. But the reality is, for decades, this one technology I'm talking about has been there, and it's the chief cause of all. People on the website have commented that things like direct weaponry, which is similar to what you're talking about. There's other mean technologies out there, very destructive. Maybe some kind of laser beam that hit a part of California, started the fires. But that's very misleading, because the overall effect, regardless of how a fire starts, one way you feed a fire is by wind. And climate engineering with these aerosol trails and the microwave technology affects the wind more than anything. In other words, if you can cook the sky and create a hype that is so powerful that it will bend the jet stream around that high pressure dome. So in the process, you're changing the whole hydrologic cycle. Wind that would have gone over Canada is now going over the poles because of the bend. And then you're melting the poles because you've got all that heat, you know, from the jet stream, all that energy transferred into the poles, where the poles are heating up in the eastern half of the United States. It's cooling down. So
didn't you say that there are fires now coming up in Siberia, which is almost unthinkable? You know, how are you having forest fires in Siberia, man? I haven't even heard of that. I haven't been seeing that in our news feed. How is that? Yeah. I mean, that place is the middle of cold.
Right. Well, Frontline News is, you know, with President Trump and the Republicans and the Democrats in elections. Backline news is things like forest fires in Siberia. It's there, but you really, really have to look hard to find it. Yet, this is the news that says, look, we're in an emergency. We have to put the fires out. It's really hard when something so big and so spread out to come to grips with it and to realize, you know, to convey to people what's actually happening, that how much of an emergency we're actually in. But there's a lot of records now, a lot of record heat with the global warming. Again, the whole premise I have is that we're spiraling into a meltdown. So places like Siberia are the warmest. Where people are the least, you often have the greatest temperature changes. In the developed world, where we're packed with people, whether in Europe or the United States, this weather technology hides the reality. It pacifies the population to think everything's fine. So just like in Nazi Germany, as they had propaganda techniques to create a lie and keep the lie as long as they could, where the truth was the enemy. They found a means to fool people. And this weather technology since they're capable of heating or cooling. The cooling is their way to get around it. And it's announced by the top brass of the military that, oh, we need climate engineering to cool down the Earth or to find ways. They use the term solar radiation management. And what that is, they're saying, look, if we spread particles by jets, reflective particles like aluminum, then the sun will bounce off the aluminum and go back up into the universe. It won't go to the Earth. But the point of it is it's just a ploy. It's just a hoax. Because in the end, yes, there's temporary cool downs when you have the clouds spread, you know, artificially. But actually what happens is the sun's rays or light does go through, and it traps heat more than it reflects heat, to put it simple. So this climate engineering has created much more cover in the globe as a whole. There's like up to 30% more cloud cover than in the 1960s in the Earth as a whole. And it's not climate engineering alone. It's our smokestacks, it's our trucks, our cars, and whatnot. Everything contributes to the imploding biosphere. But how insane is it if this climate engineering didn't happen, if it never happened, if we didn't put our taxpayers' money in the, you know, literally trillions of dollars spending, you know, spraying things into the sky that are toxic and damaging neurologically to the soil, to creatures like bees. Just imagine if this stopped, then and people were awake to it, we could start making those radical changes to, you know, balance the planet. So as the Bible says,
Did you just say that the elements now have, well, what's going on is affecting our neurological, our neural system? So, because we have a drastic raise in what you call autism. And it's just like all of a sudden you got this boom of autism. So are we talking about those things? And is that due to the microwaves coming from the Earth going up? Because people are still in that environment. So are we looking at that?
Yeah, very good point. That has everything to do with it. More and more peer-reviewed studies are coming out, whether it's Alzheimer's or autism, that aluminum has everything to do with it. Because in nanoparticle form alone by itself, in pure form, it's extremely dangerous. Aluminum in the soil is a big molecule mixed with other atoms, you know, oxides or this. I can't get too deep into science, but it makes sense that if you take something in its smallest form, it's reactive. So, for example, when these particles are in their reactive state in the water or wherever, and you take it in your body, they can flow through these very minute molecular structures and, you know, in the brain and so forth. They get into the blood-brain threshold, and they can take the place of other atoms like iron that we naturally have. So to my best understanding is chemical reactions, because of these reactive minerals like aluminum, that again, when they take the place of something else, they screw you up. I can't put it any different way. A cause of memory loss. And ironically, Brother Job, Dean Wigington, the leader of this effort, he's gone to the Alzheimer's Association. And he said, look, you people are funded by the aluminum industry. I want to point out to you that, look, the aluminum is what's the chief cause of the disease as you're fighting. You know, he's confronting them with the factual information about climate engineering and weather modification, that it aluminum is a cheap product, and over the years they've developed ways to process it so they can put it in aerosol tanks or even in fuel additives, you know, that come directly, that are in the plane's fuel tanks. But again, there's photos of these aerosol tanks with the patent number on them. It seems kind of fake in that, well, how come people don't know about this? Well, when it's something for national security, there's no laws. They can do whatever they want. If they don't want you knowing about it, they can tell a pilot, you know what, you're doing good. You're going to go out in the skies. You're going to spray, and it's going to reflect the sunlight, and it's going to have a cooling effect, and that's all you know. You don't say what you do, and that pilot's not going to know any details about it. He's just given orders, and he follows them. But fortunately, some people have figured out that something's weird here, you know, and I don't know who has taken the photos. This is not Photoshop. You know, the film footage, the photos, there's thousands of them. There's mountains of evidence to indicate that indeed weather modification programs are going on and they've long been in effect. So we're off the guardrails. We're off the guardrails right now as far as the Earth is concerned. And the best we can do is salvage. Because as you stated, Brother Joe, the time ahead is going to be painful. And as the Hopi Indians said in their, or as they gave the message in their prophecy rock, you know, what path do we choose? Ending the zigzag path that comes to an end, or a sustainable path, the one they do below, where we can live in accord with the earth, where we're not enemies of the earth. We're not enacting a story that sees us as conquerors of nature. In their story, in the stories that, if the Bible and the New Testament are interpreted, people can see that, no, it's, yes, things can get bent and twisted in interpretation, but the true interpretation is one that's in accord with the earth. And that's why I think the most interesting New Testament passage, I think you're familiar with it somewhat, is where Jesus is saying, look, you know, the birds have plenty to eat. Out in nature, there's plenty of food. Why do you store food in barns? Why do you need to work so hard under the sun all day at the sweat of your brow, collecting extra food, extra food, extra food, extra this, extra that? You know, we live in such excess. And by living in such excess, we it's as if our prison industry is to consume the earth. And our prison culture is to control and rule the earth, you know, like we're battling against nature.
Can I ask a question? So
sure.
with that being said, you brought up an excellent point about, you know, the Father providing for our needs and mm-hmm. the beasts of the field. But you also brought up that the soil quality going down. So if the cattle
right.
industry, the chicken industry, you know, which we know that's being stuck, being, you know, infiltrated with a bunch of chemicals in themselves.
Yeah,
causing
hormones
to grow
and stuff.
At a rapid rate. But mm-hmm. then they're eating the soil that's also being weakened. And we're
right.
taking that in. So
yeah.
all of this is like a big, giant chain reaction to a disaster of
right.
everything. We just created this big giant disaster.
And that's where I read, Brother Job, as Genesis, if you take it from the point of view of people that were being victimized and killed over land, it was the fall of man. We stepped out of the Garden of Eden. And what I'm advocating is, it's not to go back to primitive times. You know, indigenous peoples are thought of primitive. We found people in the jungle in these modern times, who have probably been there for centuries and thousands of years, you know, in accord with the earth. And the point of it is not to underestimate the wisdom of those people, because given the way they live, the tribes, so to speak, we could go on and on. This earth would not be threatened as it is today. You know, we would still be a thriving planet. We wouldn't be losing 200 species a day. You know, I'm just throwing out a word, but obviously I think our listeners know that, you know, as we ever increase in human population and demands on this poor planet, the other species are going downhill. The insects have crashed, and the phytoplankton have crashed out in the ocean. And that's what gives us our oxygen. So we're getting less oxygen, more methane. As we've had a methane extinction in the past, as the earth was still forming, volcanoes in the ocean heated the ocean, and the methane, you know, that's trapped in the ice and whatnot went up. So there was a huge mass extinction, the worst of all. But that mass extinction, even though as severe as it was, life survived because there was rain. The heat from the methane caused the planet a rise in moisture, more heat, more precipitation. So the rain washed out the fever. But now the difference is, instead of volcanoes, it's human heat. And that human heat has heated the ocean. And the gradual change in climate is hardly noticeable because the ocean takes the hit. The ocean absorbs 4,000 times the amount of heat that air does. So the ocean is that where we don't live is in real dire shape. It's acidified. It's overheated. There's hypoxic, anoxic. Those are fancy words, but there's places where there's not much oxygen in the ocean for any life to, you know, it's just like a layer of dead ocean. So the worst thing that can be done to the earth is to dry the atmosphere. And that's what climate engineering does. Aluminum, as I remember, aluminum is a product found in aerosol sprays for your armpits, you know, for, when you take a shower, you spray and that dries, that has the drying effect. So when you're spreading out these geoengineered chemicals, minerals, elements, whatever you want to call them, you're drying the atmosphere. It overwhelms the water droplets, the water vapor that's in the air. Because as we know, rain needs dust to collect and to make droplets. So these tiny nanoparticles, there's so many of them that whatever water, moisture is in the air, it spreads out so much, you get this cloudless haze. That's what you'll see in California. And with this cloudless haze, you might get a little mist, but you don't get a natural rainstorm like they used to. You don't get nice, rounded, puffy cumulus clouds and then clear blue sky. The skyscape has changed dramatically with these aerosol sprays.
You know what, Rob, you know what I noticed recently? That after rainstorms, I could have just washed my car. You would think that by being water, it would have rinsed off whatever residue of dust that was there. But then I come out and my car is dirty all over again.
Yes.
You know, and I'm like, hey, you know, this, it's, you know, me and Rhea, we bounce back. We call it dirty rain. But it's their particles coming back down from the heavens that's being sprayed.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I noticed that on my Magnum car one day. It just, that kind of layer of really fine dust on the car. And that's the incendiary dust that lands on foliage. That's it's like gunpowder. You know, when you get a dry forest, or the fuel moisture is way low. That's why we're getting these combustive fires. Not only that, the incendiary dust on the foliage itself, once the fire starts, it's explosive. chief fire people, you know, the fire chief in California near Redding, where, you know, the car fire took place, he was saying, we've never seen anything like this. I've done this for years, and it's coming from all sides like an explosion. And, you know, that's why people get trapped, for one thing. And he's taken great offense when he, you know, from political circles, they criticize and say, why, you know, the powers that be now are saying, well, these forests were not properly taken care of. They should have been cleared. And excuse me, but we need forests to have oxygen. We need forests to have wildlife. We need forests to have cover. And we need forests to be managed. And the point of this fireman was saying, we have done everything possible to manage. We're not perfect, but we have managed the forest. So it's real huge mislead when somebody simply said, well, we should cut the forest down. You know, it's poor management of the forest. That's why we're getting the fires. No, it's because the soil is sick. The trees are sick from ozone depletion, from inability to take up nutrients because of the poisoning of the soils, of these stupid aerosols that we don't need. And the aerosol,
you know,
spray, admittedly. Mm-hmm.
You know, it was funny that you mentioned earlier, and I just want to bring up, we're pushing up against the clock, and people that's listening, this is Invisible Secrets and Invisible Powers of radio show, Blog Talk, and normally you'll catch this on Wednesday afternoon at that 3 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. We're having a special edition this day, Sunday, with a Sunday morning brunch, which we do a lot of special editions. And this is just one of those things that you can hear this you can hear this conversation with your brother, Rob Christensen, you know, on Wednesday afternoon, the same conversation, and you can take it deeper for those of us that are interested. You brought up something clear that I never thought of, and that the ocean actually is accountable for the oxygen as well. I always, like you just said, you brought up the trees,
right,
and the forest is accountable for the, you know, and we hear that all the time, the carbon monoxide that the trees release. You know, the carbon
mm-hmm.
monoxide, they
right.
get it in, then it releases clear oxygen to walk.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought, or I hadn't been taught, that the ocean itself is accountable for 40% of the carbon monoxide and also the releasing. And with man,
well,
carbon
oxygen,
monoxide is actually
here.
Heating up the ocean. Yeah.
Right.
That's very
so,
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Just you missed something, that's fine. And your point is excellent. It's oxygen. The phytoplankton is responsible for like 40-50% of the oxygen. So if you kill the phytoplankton, then you have less oxygen. And if you burn off the forest, they're huge producers. Like the, how should I say it? I'm trying to remember, the forest of the tundra, the forest out in Siberia. I can't think of the name right now, but they're responsible for like a huge chunk, like 30-35% of the oxygen that's produced. So if the trees are burning down, you get carbon dioxide. You don't, they become net producers of carbon dioxide rather than oxygen. So, long and short of it is, all these chain reactions, this positive feedback loop, like an itch becomes a scratch. You know, more fires beget multiple more fires. It's an accelerating curve. It's a spiraling meltdown, you know, that's occurring. And we have a right to sit down and have a beer, watch a football game at times, I guess. But all of us, it's a stiff wall of denial, and I appreciate our listeners. Many understand that you know, we're in a case of emergency where we have to do what we can, but we also have faith that, you know, as this time of pain comes about, we are going to be strong and healthy and cope with it and face it. And we can. And that's where I have my family life. I had the plumbing all weekend. You know, we have to survive and do things, but it's that additional awakening, energy, positive energy, spiritual energy that we have to give back to the greater good. You know, the greater good, Earth, has given us everything. How can we trash it? Not on my watch. You know, but if I'm going to claim that, not on my watch will I allow this to happen. I know that I've lived a very consumptive life, a very privileged life, more so than the vast majority of humanity, because of where I'm located. I'm in the United States, the power center. But how deceptive when, you know, most of the population in the U.S., which is half the space, a half percentage of the planet's surface is right here in the eastern United States, how the weather engineers, the Grim Reapers, have the power to cool it down to make it seem somewhat normal, so that the whole idea of global warming goes out the window with some people. They'll say, ah, look, it's snowing here. Well, what are we worried about global warming for? Maybe we'll have an ice age. You see, that mentality isn't getting us anywhere. And the political split, Dane Wigington calls it the dichotomy, the split between Republicans and Democrats, it's the perfect waste of time to mask the problem. If we're so focused on Al Gore, Al Gore, according to Dane Wigington, is quite the hypocrite, because when the time was politically useful to talk about global warming, he did. And that just let out a little steam is all it did, because the way he presented global warming, it was several years down the road, when in fact it was exponentially worse. So he becomes a real hypocrite. Al Gore invests heavily in the petroleum industry, all the while he's talking about global warming. He's not walking the talk, and, you know, he's marginalizing the effects of global warming. He's things like climate engineering. Yeah, go ahead.
I really hate to interrupt, but we are pushing up on the clock. We got a special episode coming up in about another hour.
Oh, sure.
But we do want to open up the phone lines for questions and comments.
Sure.
For the listeners. But like I said, this has been edifying, man. I got to tell you, and it's from where I'm at. I know I've been educated. I'm a little bit more informed of what climate control is, and that what is condensational trails versus aerosol. You know, like
right.
We talked earlier, you know, condensational is like when you're running or jogging, that's condensational. That's coming out of your lungs, and you can see the vapors come out, but then it dissipates. But the aerosol trails don't dissipate. They stay there.
Right.
You know,
we've added, too, the ocean factor. That was like getting hit with a 4x4 by me. I never thought – we don't live in the ocean. But yet you think about it, that's what's taking all the atmospheric heat that we generate. The, you know, like 80%, 85% of all heat we generate gets hidden into the ocean, where, you know, we stay relatively the same. But when the ocean starts shedding out the methanes, we're going to heat up awfully fast in the air. You know, when ice starts disappearing, that's a lab experiment. When all the ice melts in water, then the water quickly changes in heat. and the air surrounding it.
That was the word I was looking for, the methane, you know, coming out of that glacier, the methane gases.
Greenhouse, it's like a greenhouse glass.
Right, that's the word I'm looking for, greenhouse.
It's called the Venus syndrome. Venus is like Earth. It's similar location from the sun, yet it's 800 degrees on the surface because it's methane. It's a methane atmosphere.
Oh, okay, okay. That's interesting. All right.
Yeah. So,
well,
you know, when people...
I know we could go on. Forgive me, please. Forgive me, but if anyone have any questions, you're more than welcome to chime in. I think we have, about 10 minutes? Maybe. If anybody have any questions for Rob, feel free. We are pushing up on the clock. So I for one, I know that I had a ton of questions for these things, but, you know, seeing that I have you here, I guess I can ask you all day long, you know. So if you're here, I'm going to use you as that answer boy. And then that'll give me reason to go and research those areas. You know, and those valuable points that you've been bringing up. Are there any questions from the listening audience or any comments?
And I can certainly share, too. I didn't get to this, and that's fine. Your questions were great. But some of the factual information behind the poem I read, it was quite a project. And I, one example is, I write military and industry, combined they could be dollar. Well, in Eisenhower's 1961 speech, he talks about the military-industrial complex. And I've added a reference to that, and this is a well-known fact. You can look this up in Google or somehow. The U.S. military is the number one polluter, the number one user of fossil fuels, and the number one employer in the world. All of those. So if Clean Water Action, if Minnesota 350, if those people are really concerned about global warming or clean water, we have to start saying, look, how can the military continue doing what they're doing? Let's find out, let's support laws that of freedom of information so that they're not hiding stuff from us like for years they have. Because in what is hidden in secrets of the government and the complex, so to speak, or shadow government, it's tyranny, it's treason. Just like in World War II, where the Germans set the example of propaganda going on here. I mean, it's rotten to the core, our system, where we have a culture of ruling and conquering nature. That's our prison culture, and our prison industry is to consume the world. When I referred to a Dem spoke out against the secrets, that of course is John Kennedy in his 1961 speech. He died like a week after that speech. He was, the power structure didn't like it. That's my opinion. Didn't like what he had to say. He was courageous. And, there was a woman whistleblower in the military whistleblowing about climate engineering, and she basically got ousted. But she had the courage to speak out. Her name is, I'm trying to think of it right now, on the tip of, Megan was her first name, but she spoke all over the place. And she has a YouTube video, Kristen Megan, there we go, Kristen Megan. It has a great 21-minute video on YouTube, Kristen Megan. And here's the most important person ever if you're in the military and you have the guts to speak out, you know, she kind of mocked some men. She said, where are you men out there? Look at me. They didn't kill me yet. And I spoke out against a secret that they don't want people to know. So kudos to Kristen Megan for doing what she did. She was single with children, I think. She was an outstanding industrial hygienist. And wow. They told her she was mentally ill and that she should, you know, that she's a case, a head case, that was her
wow.
military superiors. And they told her not to speak of it. She asked for things that she had access to in the computer data. She said, I want a material safety data sheet on this shipment here, which she basically, when she found out about climate engineering from Dane Wigington, she did the research, and she could recognize where this secret budget was being, you know, put into climate modification. Once she tried to open that up, she quickly got put down.
Wow. You know what, Rob? Okay, well, I just got to say this, man. You know, that's dead on that the military, and not just the, you know, the state's military, but the United
mm-hmm.
Kingdom military and the USSR and I should say the Soviet military,
sure.
Whether it be China or Russia, wherever the Eastern Bloc consumes, Korea, all of that, the military is basically the biggest consumer and the biggest problem of global warming. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's dead on. Well, I guess we're going to have to wrap it up. So is there any closing comments? Before we close out?
Well, sure. I can. There's a quick and very profound statement from Dane Wigington, who to me is the spark plug of the cause of saving this poor planet. So if you got a minute, I can do it. It starts like this. How many of us will stop to ask ourselves, why are we here? What's the point? What's the purpose? What's our purpose? Are we here only to pursue our personal pleasures at any cost, at the cost of our children's lives and futures, indeed at the cost of the entire web of life on this once thriving planet? Or are we here for a greater purpose, to learn, to grow, to mature, to fully open our eyes to the truth, and then to act to the dictates of morality and reason? Are we here to do our part for the whole in standing against the collective insanity? Are we not responsible to struggle against the fading of the light? Stand and make your voice heard while you can. And consider this, if we all stand together, we can yet make a profound difference. Even at this late hour, we can yet make a quantum leap in the right direction. Never give up. Again, there's no silver bullet to this. We find our ways to do the best we can. It's up to us as individuals. Don't depend on Climate 350. Don't depend on the government. We all have to, you know, within ourselves, find the courage to fulfill what we're meant to fulfill, and that's to be part of the greater good, to be in accord with the planet, not an adversary, not an enemy. And that should do it.
Hey, man. Praise God. I just want to say, once again, Rob, great DC. Valuable information, ton of valuable information. Are we going to sit back here and just be a part of the problem, or are we going to be vocal about what's going on around us and demand more transparency, you know,
Right. Yeah, people have gone out to exhibits and they've had this photo fact information, like Gem Fair. They have jewelry and stuff, but they've allowed people to exhibit this climate engineering stuff for free. You know, there's all kinds of ways. So no need to hide. There's plenty of ways to get out to the public and inform people.
All right.
and to use the media. Okay.
Hey, well, look, thank you again, Christensen of Visible Secrets and Visible Power. You can catch him on Wednesdays at 3 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. Once again, I want to say thank you again. Great, great, great DCs. And as we say here, you know, you want to check back at 12 o'clock p.m. We're doing the calendar. Those of us, those things that concerns us, the up-and-coming feast day calendar, you know, how to determine a feast day on your calendar, right? So you want to be back for that. That's at 12 o'clock p.m. So everyone, want to thank everybody for their time. And as we say here at the Sound of the Living Waters, do what?
Read your Bible.
Read your Bible.
Read your Bible, people.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show.